This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
Chip 72-73. Nobody would make a fake one.
No, I agree they're not fake.
So that's what I'm saying.
I definitely agree they're not fake.
I think they're legit that they wed once, you know, hung in the Mid-South Coliseum.
Well, you should get one for your man room.
NCAA finalist one, 70, I think you could charge more than $200.
Well, and you're not getting $200 for the rest of them. Like, who's going to pay $200 for NITs? You know, maybe you would. You were so excited with the NIT win this year. Maybe
that's your funniest joke today,
maybe,
fool.
Maybe you paid $200,000 for that banner this year, short and field and all.
An NIT that you've used in your narrative that they're building, NIT championship, they're clearly building on, fool.
I'm just not going to pay. I'm not going to break the bank for that banner. I'll tell you that right now. If I could pay for any banner that Memphis had, it would be, it probably would be
You'd pay for 07-08 finalists.
That one or 85. Like, you know, 72-73 was great, but.
Yeah, it's Larry.
Yeah.
Why would you not want that one? It's like a historic game.
It's just like more recent for me.
Bill
Walton. You know, 85 was like the year, you know what I mean? Like, that was like the iconic year. That was a year where, you know, people still talk about. Like, a lot of people still talk about. But anyway, that's out there. You can get yourself if you're on that fan group, you can get a banner for your.
It feels like you've helped Penny promote his podcast, and now you're helping here. Who is it? Patrick, get these sold.
I'm a helpful person. You know, I don't get a lot of credit for that, but I am a very helpful person, and I like to help where I can. I'll be interested to see if anybody buys these. Nice addition for your.
Somebody get that NCAA finalist one.
Memphis can come with $1,000 to get all this stuff back. Come on. It's worth it for Memphis to get that back. Like when a guy.
Why would it? There must be duplicate ones. What hangs in the forum now when it comes to Memphis's history?
Well, they're different. They're different. I think they do have banners, but they're like white now.
Correct. So they're just different. And that's why Memphis would be willing to let these go rather than storing them in the Penny Hardaway Hall of Fame Museum.
No, I would definitely pay for them. When a guy throws a touchdown and the ball gets in the thrown to the stands and he wants to get it back, doesn't he usually make it right? Doesn't he usually say?
If I'm Memphis, I would definitely want the NCAA finalist one back.
Right.
I would pay to get that back.
Right. The other ones are whatever.
The other ones just kind of.
Yeah.
But again, if this one is the one that hung in the Coliseum, yeah, you put that up in the Penny Hardaway Hall of Fame over there, and okay, you're good.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a nice little exhibit.
Yeah, I'd certainly cough up the $200 for that if I'm the University of Memphis. They could afford it. They freed up $1.5 million in the athletic budget this year thanks to Tubby Smith. So you can
extra $200 over there.
Fork over $200. Anyway, interesting stuff there over there for Memphis basketball. Tony Barnhart going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis getting the win over Mississippi State, how he feels about the play with Calvin Austin, get his thoughts on the SEC, the rest of college football, all that. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Tony Barnhart going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis, Big 12, the rest of college football. You know, occasionally there are things that just happen that are defining, that are life changing. And one of those things serendipitously happened for me yesterday. I was invited. I've been invited to go on national ESPN radio. I've been on with Key J and Z. Formerly, as the artist was formerly known, but you know, the highest honor was yesterday when I was invited to go on Waco radio. Sikkim 365 is what they call it.
All part of the prophecy, John. You're going national.
Going to Waco, dog.
Well, you gotta make stops.
It's that's
like,
right.
It's like Deion got to work his way up to USC. Is what we
yeah,
said.
That's
like,
right.
You're working your way up.
Exactly. And so they had me on basically to just talk about the good stuff that is Memphis and everything that Memphis is doing. And an interesting part came out of the whole experience. Like, I'm talking about, you know, Seth Hennigan and Ryan Silverfield and all that stuff. But the stuff that you would care about was what they had to say about Memphis. These are Big 12 personalities, media personalities who probably 5 years ago would have never had a nice thing to say about Memphis. Instead, This is what happened.
Memphis was ready this go around. And I think you saw that sort of reflected in national media. Memphis was considered the biggest loser of expansion. So if and when it does come around again, I would be stunned if Memphis doesn't get in next time.
Well, I'll tell you this, that it, right now, Memphis is still on very much the Big 12's radar, along with Boise State. And there is a feeling that I get based on what maybe Texas and Oklahoma eventually do when it comes to their exit fees, that the Big 12 pretty much is already ready. As soon as that happens, whenever that does happen, you're going to see more expansion within the Big 12. That's just kind of a generic nugget, but I think, John, maybe we'll be having you on talking about Memphis playing Baylor. No,
what would you were so excited there. Do you remember what you said next?
Well, I would do that because, you know, this sort of reminds me a little bit of 2016 where,
right,
you know, the Big 12, they kind of, you know, they push it around, so we're going to maybe expand, and they end up not doing it. Why would they want to split the pie further? Like, help me understand that.
Yeah, their answer is actually interesting if we can use that.
They want to go to 16 or 14. They're going to do it because they have some information that they're getting back in return that shows that there's a value there. Believe me, they would not want to split the pie just to split the pie. Right. If there's no value, there's no reason to go above 10. There's no reason to have added 4, but they felt like the 4 gave them some footprints in certain areas, and of course debatable with what you mentioned about Houston or whatever else. But right. I think that they're trying to win this turf war. They're not going to go head-to-head with the SEC or Big Ten. They may not right. be able to go head-to-head with the others either, but I think what they're trying to do is kind of branch out, kind of a spiderweb mentality. And I think that because of what happened and with Bob Bowlesby and the ESPN, as you know, and all that went down, I think that if Texas and Oklahoma, whenever that finally comes down, when they do leave, whatever that is, I think you're going to see them go higher. And I think it's because they think they can, and I think they think there's a value. It may not be $30, $50, $80 million a year, but there's got to be a value there.
Yeah, so there you go. His name's David Smoke. He's kind of the Calkins of Waco, if you will.
He owns that whole operation.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, that's his whole enterprise.
He
started a whole media. He did a whole media enterprise around Baylor.
It's pretty impressive the operation they've got because they have like a. Do we know? I don't know if they're terrestrial radio or not.
It's Grand City-ish. It's basically, okay. It's a non-traditional, you know, it's a YouTube-ized, you know, production.
Yep.
Very well done, mind you.
It is.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sort of making my, it's the Big 12 tour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
who's next? Who do you got next on the tour? West Virginia,
Morgantown,
beautiful.
Which I, you know,
a lot of nudes out there, according to what people I hear.
Yeah, I don't think you know, that's going to break the internet.
Yeah, be careful.
But you know, I bet we have a lot of radio listeners in Morgantown.
Really, West Virginia wants to know about Memphis and what's going on.
Yeah,
right,
he told me as I was getting off. He said, "I got a guy from West Virginia who wants to have you on a show. Are you? Can I give him your contact?"
What the hell? You just getting passed around the Big 12 now?
I'm like a Big 12 toss judge.
You are informed on a market that is relevant to the conversation.
Well,
this is content. This is what
now.
These guys do.
It is now. And we were
smoking, John. They passing it around.
Heard that.
We were joking about it during the break here. Jason was like, well, where you got to get next? And the answer, by the way,
it's TCU.
Well, Dallas, I'm not getting to TCU because they don't care about TCU.
That's the market.
They don't care about TCU in Dallas, do they?
It's still the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Fort Worth, sure. Yeah. It's fine. And Fort Worth,
the answer really is Ames.
Ames, Iowa?
Yep. Because they're 68th, believe it or not. They're the biggest market.
Ames is 68th.
Yeah, they share it with Des Moines.
It's
Des Moines dash Ames. And so they're the biggest market once you get outside of Dallas, which doesn't really count.
Right.
Because Dallas belongs to the Cowboys and the Mavericks. And TCU is like way. And then like their hockey team probably is more popular than TCU. So I got to get to Ames. That's where I got to get next. But I'm going to West Virginia next. Like, I'm like College Game Day in this thing.
This fool just sprinkling Memphis sunshine all over the Big 12.
Well, and what's interesting is that they're receptive to hearing it. And that, you heard from him there. He sounds pretty unequivocal, doesn't he, about what's going to happen with the Big 12?
Well, about who, yes, not just that it's going to reopen, but about who the two are that they want and they're going to add. It's the same two that have been speculated the most about in Boise State and Memphis. And, yes, it's awesome to hear. I think it's... You know, as discouraging it was that day when, you know, Big 12 and Cincinnati and all those folks are announcing what's going to happen, I think this is just as encouraging because, again, we said this in the open, so it's not new, but it bears repeating that this thing's going to happen again. Wins like Saturday help reinforce that you are the school, you are one of the programs, right? That's the most relevant outside of the Power Five. And again, when Saturday just reinforces that, you stay there for when this is done. And yes, clearly the perception has changed so much since 2016 when you were apparently and reportedly not even in the top 10, right? You weren't even in the 11 that we're supposed to be. Now, that whole thing was a joke. Big 12 didn't expand, but you were much lower on the list in terms of perception level than you are right now. It's a credit to what Memphis has done.
Yep.
Not just the coaches and the players and all that part, but clearly Dr. Rudd and this, you know, this crusade he's been on.
Absolutely.
Realizing how important this move would be for the entire university. It's a credit to him as well because academics has improved as well. That's all part of this, obviously. Has to be. You can't be a fool out here, a dunce, and get into these conferences.
That's right.
You've got to improve your academic profile. Memphis has done that as well. So it's a credit to the leadership at Memphis as well that you're in this position where folks are looking at you as a no-brainer for the next time it opens up.
Well, let's talk about perception because their perception, we've talked about the positive parts of their perception, right, which is Memphis football has come such a long way and they're a good program and they belong.
Coaches, players, you know, producing NFL talent, all of that. Winning big games against the SEC.
But we also need to talk about the dark side of their perception, which is their perception of the Liberty Bowl is that it's a dump. And right, wrong, and different, you're going to find people who say the Liberty Bowl is great. I got people arguing me on Twitter right now saying the Liberty Bowl is not a dump. Whatever you think about it as a Memphis fan is irrelevant. National media, I'm sure Big 12 athletic directors, you know, presidents, they see the Liberty Bowl as sort of a representation, a picture of where you have not invested and what has not changed. And so I think that's the next part of this. And we talked about it last week when Dr. Rudd told me that he's going to start pushing for this, that he's going to start raising it as an issue. I think this underlines the importance of doing that. I'm not saying that it's Memphis has to get a new stadium or go home.
Exactly.
But because we know that's going to be very difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult. I think worthwhile, but, you know.
It's the incentive for the city.
We know how things go in this city. Mm-hmm. But you have to get money funneling into the Liberty Bowl. You have to keep it, which at that point I think it's a decision for the city that they have to make. Do we want to keep doing this? Do we want to keep throwing good money at bad? Because I think that's what it is. But the point is that you have to keep investing and putting money into that place lest you be left behind again. Because I don't think you need to just say, well, you know, everybody's saying we're getting in. We're good where we're at.
Oh, no, I don't think anybody's doing that. And I think Rudd clearly knows that, and that's why we've seen the, you know, what we've seen, which is, first, yes, we'd like to do 40 to 50 million. We can get the help from the city. Oh, yes, we have to consider it on campus because that's all part of it. You have to show that there's vision, that you're not willing to just stand pat. That said, I'll ask you this question, though. When we watched Mississippi State Memphis on Saturday, when you're watching that game on television,
it's fine.
It's
fine.
Are you sitting there thinking, my gosh, that's a dump? You don't.
No,
you
it's don't. Fine. It's
and,
not. It's
and
not.
I doubt your guy in Waco was thinking that. Well, I don't think Paul Feinbaum or any of those guys, Brettman Murphy, are thinking that. And so, yes, it's cost you, John. It's been part of why you've been left behind. But I don't think it's the end-all, be-all. And again, we know this. Memphis is already between a rock and a hard place with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that may not change. But what you have to have out there is the vision. Mm-hmm. Is the, yes, we have, we're planning to do something. And as long as you've got that and it's realistic enough,
yeah.
I think you'll be in good shape here.
Well,
because you've changed what's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And let's be real. That is the success of your football program.
Yep.
That is bringing some value from a football standpoint. You've changed that already to a point where, you know, people are more excited to go to what we call a dump of a stadium and do that experience. Plus, they've dressed it up. Let's be real, too.
Well,
they're going to have to do more of that.
Well,
I'll give you that.
And here's a benefit for Memphis here. The Big 12 plays in the Liberty Bowl most years. Right, like that bowl game. It's a lot of times it's a Big 12 team. You know, last year I want to say it was West Virginia. West Virginia beat Army here.
Well, that's what they're going to ask you about.
Year before it was Kansas State. Year before that, Oklahoma State. Year before that, Iowa State and Memphis played in the Liberty Bowl. So, I remember that one. It was freaking frigid. It was the first time in my life I've ever had to buy hand and feet warmers in Memphis, Tennessee. It was horrible. It was windy. Oh God!
You were sitting outside for that one? You were out.
Yeah,
there?
I was at the Liberty Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't just in the press box.
I went with my wife and our friends because it was like the first time Memphis had been in the Liberty Bowl, right? Ever. We were just celebrating that whole deal. But my goodness, I needed some Blue Note for that one. I needed those Blue Note bourbon bars to be open because it was, buddy. I needed something to warm me up. But yeah, like
that's what I'm saying. You really think we're going to come to a conclusion on that? We'll have plans,
mm-hmm.
but we won't have this settled. By the time Texas and Oklahoma are moving up out of the Big 12 and they're reopening.
Which piece are you saying? Like the Liberty Bowl itself?
Yeah, I think they will have an idea.
No, they're not going to do both, but they will have an idea of whether or not they're going to get the upgrades that they're looking for. And trust me, if they don't get the cooperation from the city on these upgrades, then it is going to you are going to see the pace get picked up on a new stadium. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, but that's still rocking a hard place too, because then you're asking the state for the help, a state that historically hasn't helped you.
Well, you might get it now because you're about to be an R1 university, you know? I mean, there's some good things happening for the University of Memphis on the academic side as well. If that happens, Carnegie won. I mean, that matters. So there is some positive momentum on both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I think just because there's a renewed push, I'm not holding my breath for a new facility.
We
got to
do something. If you don't
years.
Get the cooperation from the city, you got to hold them over barrel somehow. You know, a lot of times in this city, that's how things get done, right?
Yeah. Like
when the city has no choice, because if you leave them a choice, you're going to get get the run around.
I think the city has a choice here to say, okay, go show us that you can get the funding.
Well, the
for
city has
campus.
To understand how because damn important it would be for Memphis to be in the Big 12.
Because again, the city has. What, three tenants at the Liberty Bowl?
And
they got one
true one.
One that's not just a one-off, one
Correct.
Time a year, exactly.
Correct.
And so, again, that's a building. What do they charge, $25,000 for Memphis to play a game there? Like,
yep.
the city, you know, that's a pretty good deal for them, and you're
Very
taking out
deal.
Their main tenant. You know, again, what's the whole point of the whole thing even standing? Like, I love the Southern Heritage Classic and I love the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, but
you're
going to
have one game a year, you know, two games a year in that thing?
Yeah.
That's not viable.
Right.
So, again, that's what I said. So is the city going to let go of Memphis? No, they're not going to help at all.
Well,
they
sure
want to keep you.
I'm sure there's a way for the city to get, you know, their cut, too, somehow, some way. I don't know. It'll be a fascinating political battle to watch play out. Like a little house of cards here with, you know, Kevin Spacey and, you know, Robin Wright, I think is her name. Jenny from
you love going back to these old House of Cards references. That thing's dead.
Used to be a good show.
Yeah, like the first two seasons.
But Kevin Spacey has been canceled since then. We don't really.
And yet, when I bring up Cosby Show,
yeah, well, that was a
you have a that you see the
well,
double standard.
Bill Cosby
there?
Was
no,
in
not,
prison.
No, but you want to bring up House of Cards all the time. Even with Spacey.
But Bill Cosby was in prison.
Not anymore.
Is he out?
Yeah, he got out, fool, okay. On a technicality, but he's out. You didn't know that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if it already happened or not. Anyway, it'll be one of these extra storylines to monitor in Memphis. What happens with that stadium, and if they can get the upgrades they're looking for, or if they have to pursue other avenues, we shall see. We'll talk to Tony Barnhart, get his thoughts on Memphis's victory over Mississippi State on Saturday. Talk to him about the SEC, Alabama. Is everybody truly as beatable as some folks seem to think? Alabama squeaks one out in Gainesville over the Gators. Get into all of that with him when we come back. Jason and John, 92.5 ESPN. Tony Barnhart is Mr. College Football. He joins us. Now, Tony, it was quite the weekend in the world of college football, especially here in Memphis as they get the win quite controversially over the SEC's Mississippi State. How do you begin to make sense of that play and the fallout from that win for Memphis?
Well, the according to the rules, the play went well. My problem is with the official who dropped the beanbag and seemed to be waving that the ball was dead, which made the other players hesitate. Either way, the crazy play. Those kind of things happen during the course of the season. But heads up for the Memphis player, because he knew what the rule was and he knew what the play was, and he knew there was no downside for picking up the ball and running with it. So smart play on his part.
When you real quick on Mississippi State, Tom, when you look at them and see Will Rogers throwing 67 times for 6 yards a pop in that loss to Memphis, what do you see? I mean, sitting right now at the bottom of the SEC West, do you see eventually Mike Leach and the Air Raid sort of getting together, or are we looking at, you know, a couple of years of mutual parting of ways? What do you sort of foresee for Mississippi State, Mike Leach?
Well, the key, of course, is that Mike Leach's track record is that the second year is better than the first and the third year is better than the second.
That's what they say.
And everybody gets on the same page. I think he's found himself a quarterback in Rodgers. But let's just say this. Mike Leach has never tried to do all this against seven teams from the SEC West and an SEC schedule. And so I like what he does offensively, and they did well defensively last year, but I think it's to be determined. I think it's too soon to know yet. And oh, by the way, when you look up and Ole Miss is getting better and Arkansas is getting better, and already know about LSU, Auburn, and Alabama, what they've got. Oh, and did we mention Texas A&M? It is hard to get a lot better when you're playing that level of competition.
Yep.
You know, there was a push after Memphis got left out of this round of Big 12 expansion. You saw, you know, there was a little bit of a national narrative that, well, you know, Memphis just can't overcome itself and they should just really go all in on basketball. They should just funnel all their resources and everything into just being great in basketball. Not that that ever stopped, right? They've always invested in basketball. That hasn't changed. But doesn't a win like that one, beating, again, by no means a great team in the SEC, but still a team that's getting $35 million annually from its TV deal, doesn't a win like that validate the continued effort for Memphis into its football program?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, listen, Memphis has got a long track record of being successful in football. It's not a consistent, never has been, but I mean, all the elements are there. It's a great fan base. It's a great recruiting area. You can do all those things. And if I'm Memphis, I'm still working. You know, I'm in a good conference now. The AAC is the best of the group of five conferences. And who knows when the musical chairs game, which is conference expansion, stop, you never know when you're going to be sitting in one of those chairs. So you just keep working in that direction.
So I didn't expect to be asking about the bottom of the SEC before I asked you about the top, but it does feel like that LSU-Mississippi State game, in terms of getting right your fan base to believe in what you're doing for both of those guys, even Orgeron with a title a few years ago, it feels like, you know, you both need this one, Tony. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. And again, if you're Mississippi State and you've got a new coach, one of the things you've got to do in the first couple of 3 years is you've got to beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. All right, that is what instills confidence in the coaching staff. Mississippi State did it last year against LSU. But the way you look at it is these are teams that are pretty much on an equal footing. LSU's got more talent overall. But this is a game that Mississippi State knows if it plays well, it can win.
you know, moving from the bottom of the SEC to the top, what a game that was in Gainesville. Florida gives themselves a chance to win. If they get Alabama off the field, their crazy situation with the clock. Can't remember seeing anything quite like that. But Alabama is able to get the win, however narrowly. You know, you're starting to hear, Tony, this narrative around college football that everyone is beatable this year. That was not necessarily what we were all thinking after week one, and Alabama makes light work of Miami. Do you think that? Do you think that everybody is beatable in college football this year? Alabama, Clemson, everybody at the top. Do you sense that?
Yeah, everybody is beatable. I mean, look what has happened to Clemson. Clemson is absolutely beatable. Ohio State has been beaten. There's more flaws out there than ever before. Now, Alabama look human. They look like they're still incredibly good, but you got to give Florida credit for what they did and their ability to run the ball on Alabama. I think it's great. I think it's great that everybody looks beatable. That's the way it should be. And if you don't play well that day, if you're not ready to play, you probably get beat. So still think Alabama is one of the best teams in the country. And I still think they've got a chance to win every game they play.
Yeah.
But just watching you just got to give Florida a lot of credit. They're down 21-3, and everybody in the world, including me, was expecting it to be a blowout because that's what Alabama's been doing. Florida fought back and got back into the game, and you need to give them credit for that.
Well, you took me back to something you wrote this week, too, that I think, you know, Saban's going to play this, too. He's going to play at the right. This could actually be a good thing for Bama, right? Because now he's going to be in there coaching, and they're going to have to listen to him, right, Tony?
Because now, because see, guys,
yep.
I tried to tell you.
All day.
You're not as good as you were a year ago. Now, you can be, okay, but you've got to focus. And, oh, by the way, the game is 60 minutes long. We're up 21-3 after the first 15 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? There's 45 minutes to go. Florida knew that. We didn't do that. We didn't play for 60 minutes. We let them back in the game and had to fight like heck to win. And so Saban loves it. It gives him some teachable moments, which he loves to do.
So on that Florida side, how much of what we saw, I mean, they outgained the Tide. It was like 440 to 330, something like that. How much of what we saw from Florida changes – or does it, Tony, what we think about their chances against Georgia? I think it's October 30th in the Swamp. Did it change at all, Tony, how we think that game might play out?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now Florida believes, hey, we played Alabama to a two-point game, could have won. All right? That means we can play with anybody.
Yep.
When we play our game, we can play with anybody. That should be a tremendous boost of confidence for them.
We are, of course, talking to Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football here on the show. What do you make of what's happening with Clemson? Obviously, new quarterback, and that's to be expected, perhaps, the struggle. But, you know, it took everything not to lose to Georgia Tech there, and it's not like Georgia Tech managed that game very well. What do you make of what Dabo's doing with there in Clemson this year?
What Clemson has to do offensively is that, well, they've got a couple of things that are, first of all, they are not blocking well enough to run the ball when they want to, which is, you know, people don't talk about the fact that last season, Clemson, you know, while they had Trevor Lawrence, they also had Travis Etienne and a really good offensive line, and they haven't been able to run the ball. That puts the pressure on the quarterback. Georgia gave everybody the roadmap of how to confuse the Clemson quarterback, and that's what everybody's doing. And they're putting a lot of pressure on him. So they've got to figure out some things offensively. Defensively, they're great. I mean, they are absolutely great. And they're absolutely capable of winning every single game that they play during the regular season.
You know, we saw Willie Taggart be fired after 2 years at Florida State. Is the same fate going to befall Mike Norvell? I mean, it is going the wrong way for him there. And I know the dynamics are a bit complicated with boosters and everything else at that program.
Yeah.
But it's not going the way they anticipated for Mike. What do you sort of see happening there?
Well, they got to get it turned around. The thing about it is, on the night that they – Sunday night that they lost to Notre Dame and that emotional, dramatic – Mike Norvell had built up a lot of goodwill. Hey, this guy knows what he's doing. He almost beat Notre Dame. We're on the right track. Then you give up a 60-yard bomb on the last play of the game and get beat by Jacksonville State. And then you get beat by, first of all, Wake Forest is a pretty good football team. Dave Clawson's a good football coach, and if you're not ready to play, guess what? They can beat you. Well, guess what? Florida State wasn't ready to play, and they get beat 35-14 or something like that. And so he's got to get it turned around in a hurry because the fans are going to absolutely give up on the program if he doesn't.
Who you been more impressed with, Tony? Is it what Mac, the numbers that Matt Corral and Lane Kiffin are putting up at Ole Miss and sort of where that could go, or the job that Sam Pittman is doing at Arkansas? Sitting there 3-0, got the win over Texas. Both have been impressive for you, one more so than the other?
No. Both are equally impressive. I mean, Sam. First of all, Sam Pittman, what he's done, just think about this. They beat Texas in a game that wasn't – the final score was like 40 to whatever it was. It wasn't that close.
Mm-hmm.
They dominated the football game from the beginning. The fans stormed the field, and Sam Pittman's – I just posted something online about Sam Pittman said, hey, people are proud of the Arkansas football program again, and that's important to me. By the same token, Lane Kiffin, you know, when Ole Miss loses Elijah Moore, their number one receiver, we said, well, they can't be as good. They got a bunch of guys who can catch the ball,
mm-hmm.
and Matt Corral's got the best arm in the SEC. And what they've done is pretty remarkable. Can't wait to see. They're off this week. Can't wait to see next week, which is going to be really entertaining.
And their defense is better too. I mean, they're you know, you sort of just used to chalk it up. Well, they're going to give up 50, but the offense will score 57. But you know that defense is far more reliable this year than year. I give Lane credit for fixing that.
Well, and the defense doesn't have to be good; it just has mm-hmm. to be not awful. Okay, which is what it was a year ago.
Yep, exactly.
Give him an extra possession or two a game, and you've got some good things going. But Lane Kiffin's done a tremendous job
Absolutely.
Of working with Matt Corral. People forget, Lane Kiffin didn't recruit Matt Corral. Okay,
yep.
The previous staff under Hugh Freeze recruited him. And as good fortune smiled upon Matt Corral, then all of a sudden Lane Kiffin's now the head coach at Ole Miss. And it's the perfect match.
It's funny because we saw Matt Corral in Memphis 2 years ago, and I can't even believe it's the same quarterback. I mean, he came here 2 years ago. Memphis beat Ole Miss, and I think he had 122 yards in the air. Like it's hard for me to imagine that it is the same guy. But it goes to show you the importance of a coaching change. That was under Matt Luke. This is Lane Kiffin. He's unlocked a different guy. On that same note, Tony, you're seeing now. Paul Feinbaum says today at USC, which has kind of been in the wilderness since Pete Carroll. Deion Sanders, Paul Feinbaum says, would be amazing at USC. Do you agree with Paul? Do you think Deion Sanders makes sense there at USC?
Well, I think James Franklin's going to get the job. I mean, to me, that's the fit. I mean, although I will say having prime time as the coach in L.A., that would be sweet. That would be sweet. But I think when all is said and done, James Franklin's going to get that job.
And then, look, we're all expecting Tennessee to lose in the swamp to what's clearly a very talented Florida team. But, you know, do you need to see, you know, in terms of quarterback play, and whether it's Hooker or Milton, do we need to see some progress there with, you know, under Heupel's first season? That fan base, I think, surely wants to show will.
Well, yeah. I mean, we said before the season started that we know what Josh Heupel wants to do. What we don't know is whether or not he's got a quarterback in that room who
right.
can do it. And I think the jury's still out on that. But again, if you're going to be a system, if you're going to do a system like Josh Heupel does, you've got to have an elite quarterback. And right now, I don't see an elite quarterback.
Not either one of them. Yep.
And then last thing, Tony, the College Football Playoff Board of Managers was going to meet, and now it seems like they are probably not going to meet, and now it feels like the expansion that everybody sort of assumed was going to happen, you know, sooner than later is going to be tabled for later.
Yeah.
What is the future of expansion? Is this just a delaying of the inevitable? Do you legitimately think this could be the end of it for the foreseeable future? What do you see as the future for the playoff?
Well, I think we're going to get there. I think we will get to 12 teams, but we got to cool down the temperature a little bit in the room. I think you got to get Texas and Oklahoma in squared away and inside of the SEC. I think that's got to get done. I think if everybody just calms down a little bit and people don't quit worrying about the SEC taking over the world, this will get, it's in the best interest of everyone to get this done. The college football playoff, as fun as it is, it's starting to get stale. We're going to have, you know, we don't know who's going to be in it this year, but the same teams have pretty much been there most of the year. So I think for the good of the game overall, it needs to expand.
Will, when it happens, will there be a slot assigned for everybody that's not in an access conference? Will there be a G5 spot assigned?
I don't think there'll be a G5 slot. I think they'll say something like the original plan is that the top six conferences get to go.
Gotcha.
Top six conference. But, and by definition, since there are five Power 5 conferences, that in essence leaves a slot for the highest rated G5 conference. You just won't say it that way.
Right.
You'll just say the top six conferences get in, and by default, whoever the top G5 conference is will get in.
Puts a lot of pressure though on Mike Oresko, right? Because it used to be, it was accepted nationwide that the AAC was the best, that was not a Power 5 conference. And now that is certainly, depending on what happens after the departure of those three schools, that is certainly up for debate with the Mountain West. We shall see. Tony, great
You're
stuff
man,
as
Tony.
Always.
Thank
Appreciate you.
You.
Okay, guys. Take care.
He is Tony Barnhart. Mr. College Football. I mean, it goes show you, like, the stakes, right? Like,
well, now he's going to earn his money. He's going to have to earn that money that he got on the extension that you didn't like.
You know,
he's going to have to earn it now. No, because you're right. It's no longer, it can no longer be assumed.
Yep.
And so much will depend on what you bring in.
Yep. Now, the Mountain West is, you get past Boise State and San Diego State, it's pretty nasty.
Well, after you get past Memphis and SMU.
It's true.
I mean, I know Tulsa's a sleeping giant. As sitting there at 0-3, but they, you know.
Still asleep.
Fresno looks good.
Fresno did. They competed against UCLA. Yeah.
So I'm saying it's comparable
it's up
now.
For debate. No, it's a conversation.
Yeah, Fresno beat UCLA. Yeah.
Nevada has that quarterback, Carson Strong.
Didn't used to be. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, wasn't a conversation.
Yeah, you lose those top three. That's tough. Yeah, you got to figure out who's going to get in there.
I mean, look, you look at the Mountain West, not that I've ever even considered this, but like Colorado State, you know, they could be better than they are right now.
Yes.
Boise State, we know. Air Force, pretty good, right, historically. They're like a respectable football program. San Diego State, we know. They're 3-0 this year. Nevada's got a good quarterback. So you've got some things going for you in the Mountain West. It's very comparable now, unfortunately, to the AAC, depending on, of course, what Mike Oresko decides to do. Now, you add UAB, you know, you add some stronger football programs outside of the Power 5. You know, I think you still have that. You probably still get that edge with Memphis and SMU, but it's closer than it's ever been now.
Much closer.
And that just adds to the implications for expansion here, because if you're not going to get into the Big 12 or whenever that happens, you got to make sure that you take care of home, and we'll see how Mike Oresko responds. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John on Eternal FM. Yes, me. Earlier today, Jason, you mentioned Tom Brady. I'll get to that in just a minute, but I want to tell you, I want to tell you about this this particular bettor. We don't know where he's from. He had a 16-team parlay, okay? That's a lot of teams and a lot of outcomes.
This is the guy that picked Detroit.
Yeah, so he had a 16-team parlay, $25 free bet, all right?
Yep.
It was on an app that neither of us endorse, so we don't necessarily need to say the name. But $25, get this, paid out $726,000 because he hit every single one 50 out of 15 going into Monday night. And for some godforsaken reason, this gentleman or woman decided they were going to bet on the Lions to win the game. Not cover, but win.
He bet Carolina to beat the Saints. So there's a couple where he was feeling foxy and said, you know what?
That's fair. But, like, the Lions, though, I mean, come on. You get all the way to the 16th game and you pick the Lions. Anyway, there was some debate because everybody was saying, cash out. Because you have a lot of, like, every app usually gives you the option, right, to cash out if your bet's going the wrong way or they're just trying to get out for less money.
Yes.
They were not doing that because it was a free bet. They were not allowing that option because it was a free bet. It wasn't actually $25. Well, they made an exception. This company made an exception, and they let him cash out at $133,000.
Wow.
So he turned $25 into $133,000. That's a nice day sports gambling.
That I think that particular ticket was just talked about so much. So I guess that's good publicity for the company. You know?
I mean, it's very true.
Hit. It's a marketing hit.
It's very true.
Right? Is that what you're doing there?
My thing is, how many $25 tickets did he take out to get to that 15 of 15 last ones, Green Bay?
I can tell you, not $133,000 worth. Hmm. Right?
Or was it just a deal? You got one free bet, left over. And you say, I'm just going to take a shot on this.
Oh, that's 100%.
Seems like most of those guys that hit that one, you got a bunch of tickets out there.
Listen, only parlay tonight we're playing is the Dodgers to win and the Cardinals to win because both of them are playing for something in the National League.
What are y'all, 9 in a row now, Dre?
It is now 10 in a row.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Who's on the mound tonight for you guys?
I think it's a Waino night, is it not? I got to go look.
Waino pitched over the weekend.
Yeah, I did. They're doing 5-day rotations with him now. So
I can't be knowing more about the Cardinals right now, Brad.
I know, right? Well, I was focused on the big win last night. 10 in a row, you're 4 games up in the wild card. Let me go look.
What is Milwaukee doing? Just laying down? They're fine to let y'all get in? I don't understand it.
Well, we threw three or four pitchers, closers in a row to close out that game. We got Woodruff, the kid from Memphis, who they brought up.
Oh,
Woodford.
Wow.
They brought Woodford up, got him through 5, and then they had 4 relievers just to get through the thing.
So if anybody's going to put a stop to this, it's going to have to be my Cubs, because I see the Brewers are not interested.
Michaelis is back pitching tonight. Brett Anderson goes for Milwaukee.
Okay.
The Cardinals, hottest team in baseball, right? Nobody else won 10 in a row.
And you can get 1.5 still tonight again if you want a 1.5 for the Cardinals.
What's the money line?
I don't have that in front of me. I didn't see it.
Yeah, but they're hot. I got to go with the hot hand. That would make sense to me. Anyway, congratulations. That better turn $25. If you get a free bet, and most of these apps give you a free bet, right?
I get like $5 free bet. I don't get $25.
Right.
Do you use them immediately? I get excited when I see them, and I'm like, I'm going to use it and have some fun.
I have none right now. Yeah. I think that's a sign I use
if
them
you
good.
Get like, it, so.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy that puts $5 on the Chiefs to win. Try to turn that free bet into like actual like
do parlay
like this guy
do
is
parlay,
you're saying?
Like this yeah
because it's not
no,
even,
you're saying do like a multiple leg parlay like go
do
go
a 10
for
team
the,
parlay
that's what you're saying go for
that's
gold.
Fair
yeah don't try to do,
I don't know man
it's
Brad
a free
you know
bet.
You don't rock like that anyway
it's a
you
free
would take
bet.
That free bet
when you're dealing with house money though Jason
it's not even
it's
your
five,
money
yeah it's house money
you're crazy if you try to put a free bet on I think the Virginia Tech game's going over
yeah
so you can win $20. Nah, dude, you try to turn that into glory.
I just want a little half a tank of gas.
Nah, bro, that's not what you do with a free bet. A free bet, you swing.
Early look at the UTSA game. What are y'all thinking on that one? +3, 3.5.
I like Memphis to cover.
Okay.
That's where I'm at today.
Yeah.
The Roadrunners.
Interesting. I got to think about
again,
that.
Again, because they beat Illinois.
I'm going to get
They're
in the lab.
They're not looking past these guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get in the lab tonight. We got Patty's picks tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we're going 4-2 this week. That's been the trajectory.
I just want that padlock to keep hitting.
Field of 4-2. Yeah, padlock's 1-1.
Yeah.
Padlock's the most important one. But, we got to get above 500. It's the journey. It's a long season, 17 weeks. Week 3 is tomorrow. That's going to do it for us.
Can I get my first kicker in? We'll do a little communicating before the show so I don't get beat again.
There you go.
Yeah, we got to get off the show.
I'll send those along the night after I come up with
them. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, Tony Barnhart for joining us today. Thanks to Margaret Giannata for hopping on the show. Today, I got to get on the horn with West Virginia.
My God.
We'll be back tomorrow as the Big 12 tour continues. Giannata and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.